Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 510, 78 degrees on this Thursday, May 1st, 2025. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. Get involved with the conversation. For full disclosure, the killing of Osama bin Laden by the DevGru team, Operation Neptune Spear, it occurred at 11:35 p.m. on May 1st, our time, Washington, D.C. time, Eastern Standard Time. It actually took place on May 2nd, local time, in Islamabad. So just so people text me in with the dates, that's the explanation for that. It actually happened on May 1st, our time, at 11:35 p.m. at night, which was actually May 2nd in Islamabad, where it actually took place. Let me go to the phone now. We have Larry from Plymouth. Larry.
Hi, Rob. This woman you're talking about with the CIA, I've never heard of that, but 9/11 didn't have to happen. Do you know a guy named Michael Shore?
I've heard the name.
Okay, Michael Shore was the head of the bin Laden unit under Bill Clinton, and he said they had 10 chances to get bin Laden. They could have got him twice at Tora Bora and killed him, and they could have captured him 8 times. But every time they sent that information to the White House, they were refused. So if you want to blame somebody for 9/11, you blame Bill Clinton.
Oh, no doubt. I am well aware that they had several targeting opportunities on bin Laden before it happened.
They said they didn't want to have any, whatever you call it, they didn't want anybody else to get killed.
Collateral damage, yes.
Yes, exactly. But and another thing, Rob, I don't like that these guys come back, you know, SEAL teams and all, and they write these books. I don't go for that at all. Rob O'Neill, Rowan, and Chris Kyle. Chris Kyle had PTSD real bad. But anyway, they said he had 160 confirmed kills, but that took 10 years. Do you know who the greatest sniper in history was?
It was that Vietnam-era guy.
Who's that?
The Vietnam-era guy.
No, it was before that. His name was Simo Haiha, and he was a Finn. And during the 20s, you have to join the Finland army. So he was in for 2 years. And then he got out, and all he wanted to do was be a farmer. But when the Russians attacked Finland, he joined back up. And he was only like 120 pounds by 5'4". And it snows a lot in Finland. So he became a sniper. And in 8 months, he had 556 confirmed kills. The Russians called him White Death, because he wore one of them white jumpsuits.
Yes.
And they finally did get him. They hit him with they're shooting a howitzer at him or something. And he got hit, and it blew part of his face off. But he almost died, but he did recover, and he lived to be like 93. He died in the 90s. But like I said, I don't like them writing books. I think this woman you're talking about, if nobody knows her, I agree with that. You shouldn't.
There was an entire team that was assigned to this, but she was the primary push on it. And listen, I know Rob O'Neill, and I know a little of the reasoning behind it. And listen, there's some people who write books. There's some people who didn't. And there's a mix of beliefs in that. There are a lot of people in the team environment that don't like it at all. They think they should be the silent professionals. And, there's a lot of people who agree with that. But a little reasoning with Rob O'Neill is, after Operation Neptune Spear took place, the Obama administration actually provided some of the CIA people to the producers of Zero Dark Thirty, the movie they made from that. And a lot of people made a lot of money off of that movie based on what happened, friends of the Obama administration who were there. And that aggravated a lot of people in the teams to where they said, you know what, some of them came out and did their own thing. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it was definitely in response to that.
Yeah. Well, and another way I could look at it, too, hey, you go risk your life, so maybe you should get paid for it,
Yeah, but I agree, and a lot of the people in the teams, listen, I serve on a SEAL, Navy SEAL Foundation. I'm around the community an awful lot, and the majority of the community agree with you that they just like to remain that silent professional. And when they retire, right off into the sunset.
Do you know, geez, I can't think of his name now. Lone Survivor. What was his name?
Marcus Luttrell. Yes, I did. I actually gave Marcus a piece of the World Trade Center when I met him.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I've liked some of his speeches. He's good.
I actually just played. He testified just recently, last week, I believe, in front of the Texas legislature about psychoactive therapy that he's taken that has helped reshape his life. You know, he was into the painkillers and alcohol real bad after all the surgeries he had, and you know he sees that as a real viable under a doctor's care, of course, but a real viable therapy for men and women who have seen what he's seen. But
he has an identical twin brother, too.
Yeah, Morgan Luttrell. He serves in Congress. He's a member of Congress now.
The thing is,
most Navy SEALs are smaller, very wiry, well-built guys that could go forever. But if you ever met Rob O'Neill or Marcus or his brother Morgan, they're big dudes.
Yeah, I know they are.
And how they get through, the big dudes usually don't make it through this kind of training because it just beats up their body so much. And, you know, both of them have some real funny stories about their size working against them through the SEAL team training and falling out of helicopters into the water and falling asleep underwater and not fitting in the small.
I heard that story. He said, don't do that.
Yeah, falling asleep inside, not fitting into the SEAL delivery vehicle, which is the mini submarine that takes them around. I'm honored to call a lot of these gentlemen my friends.
I was going to say, you're lucky to meet those guys. I'd love to.
Yeah, no doubt. Larry, I appreciate you checking in today.
Okay, thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go on with the next story here, because this kind of took me for a loop. A teen. You know, we're talking earlier in the show, at the beginning of the show at 3 o'clock, about these shootings in our area. And in Long Island, New York, they just arrested 28 kids around 15 with guns and gangs and drugs and money and everything. And we see the shootings here in our area. A teen charged with a Tesla firebombing has been released from federal custody. You know why the judge released him? To continue gender-affirming medical care that they cannot get in the prison. So we're just going to let you go. And you got to attend your court dates, but you know you need to do what you need to do. The college student accused of firebombing a Tesla dealership has been released from federal custody to continue gender-affirming medical care, according to a report. Owen McIntyre, 19, is facing federal charges for allegedly tossing two Molotov cocktails into a Missouri Tesla dealership last month, causing hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages to two Cybertrucks and two charging stations, according to the feds. The University of Massachusetts physics student was granted release by a U.S. magistrate judge, Jessica Hedges, due to serious and ongoing medical needs. Serious and ongoing medical needs, which included gender-affirming medical care that requires daily medication as well as mental health support. McIntyre is also on the autism spectrum and was diagnosed with both ADHD and depression, all of which requires medication and treatments that excuse him from remaining in prison, his lawyers successfully argued. By moving back home with his parents, he will have access to the care providers who are familiar with him and his specific needs, the court documents read. Well, maybe they should have thought of that. If this was so detrimental to their health, safety, and well-being, their mental health, if this is the direction they wanted to go in, well, how about you don't throw firebombs into Tesla dealers? How about that? You got high blood pressure. You go out and kill someone. I can't be in jail. I got high blood pressure. I need to be at home, relaxed. I can't be in a prison environment. Judge Jessica Hedges, who was appointed in 2024, overruled objections from the U.S. attorney and from the Western District of Missouri, who claimed the terrorism-related charges warranted McIntyre to be treated as a public safety threat. Well, their own justification for the care that they say this person needs is He's unstable mentally. Suffers from ADHD and depression. Mental health support is needed. Obviously, they failed before they decided to throw firebombs in a building. But for a judge to just say, you go home with your parents. You need this medical care. It's more important than public safety. It's more important than holding you accountable for the crimes you committed. The hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage you've done. You need to be you. So we need to let you go be you. We're on a weird course in parts of America. We're in a time where you have silence when millions of people crossed into our nation and you had an administration go, we're going to just make you all asylum seekers. Most of you, anyway. We're going to expand the definition. We're going to give you court cases for years in the future. But try and send them out. No, you need due process. Where's the due process for us, the American citizens, who are paying for all this? Where's the due process of our tax dollars being misspent by the cretins that are elected into official office that are making these decisions against our wishes in a lot of times? I mean, illegal immigration has been an overwhelming mandate as well. You might have some bleeding heart liberals over there that say, oh, listen, the gang member, violent domestic abuser deserves to be here amongst us. He's just a dad from Maryland. Then we find out more and more he's not so much. Now we found out another PFA. In addition to the one we just found out about a few weeks ago, there's another one that goes all the way back to 2020 where the father of this current gang member's wife with the kid, she has a kid with someone else as well. Well, that father was feared for his life because this guy was a gang member. And he documented it in a PFA. Said he wanted to kill me, he wanted to kill her, he wanted to kill our kids. Because he's a violent gang member. But no, there's no evidence that this guy's a gang member. None at all. Now, Rob, you can't justifiably say that all Democrats support MS-13. No, I can't. But some of you do. Some of you do.